Channel 1 over, beginning visit with Cookie, this Sunday at lunch, 23rd of January, 72. Channel 1 over, beginning a visit with Cookie, this Sunday at lunch, 23rd of January, 72. Channel 1 over, beginning of the visit with Cookie, this Sunday at lunch, 23rd of January, 72.
It's the 6th of January. Dean says that he is going fishing tomorrow with his buddy. He may do some fishing, but I'll be in the beer cooler. You can find us by following the trail of beer cans. Oh, do I think I'm going to get blown away. I didn't get drunk on Christmas or New Year's, so I owe it to myself. I just looked at Dean. I didn't smile. I just looked. It hadn't been a good day or a good week for that matter. Arguments with Dean and the store manager, and between Dean and the third man. And some of the stockmen had complained about the way Dean had been yelling at them. Dean had mentioned that day to me alone that he was going to be looking for another job and thinking about turning in his notice that very day. I told him to wait a day or two, think about it. So we all sat there silently while Dean rambled about drinking. But I was surprised about his being sober on the holidays. And it dawned on me that he wasn't drinking as much as he said he was. There was something about all this talk. Something else he was saying. Marcia walked in about this time. She works in drugs and housewares and does some cashiering. The relations between her and Dean are not good because he thinks she's lazy and ugly. She came in and Dean let go with several derogatory comments, bad in themselves, worse in front of the stock crew, but we all remained silent. Marcia walked away. I got up and went to the water fountain. Later in the day, Dean asked me if I wanted to stop by Bertram's and have a drink before going home. Bertram's is on the mall where I work, a restaurant with a small lounge. We sat there after work. I was a gin fizz and he was a Harvey Wallbanger. And I was hoping to get something out of him concerning the hassle at the store. The conversation, though, started with a TV program. And another man there in the lounge joined in, talking about programs I hadn't even seen. So I waited. Tried to edge into the store trouble. No go. I could see that it was more of a thing of sitting with somebody and drinking. Dean seems to be that kind of a guy. Needs at least someone with him. He wanted to pay for the drinks, and I started to offer him some money, and I said, okay, next time I pay. He took me up on the offer made at the lounge a little later. I tried to go the following Saturday after Thursday in the lounge, but he'd been on edge all day, not wanting to stay in the store and waiting for me for fear that he would get mad and quit. So Monday we finished at 11, and it was a little early for a drink, but this was an opportunity, so I sat in the lounge. I ordered a screwdriver, and Dean came in a few minutes and ordered a gin tonic, and then was up again and over to the jukebox. He came back feeling pretty good. I finally taught my old lady to dance. She didn't like going out at first, but I gave her some lessons, and now she's starting to swing, enjoying the club. He sat down and started talking, but it was the overseas Air Force that he was talking about. Rowdy, bawdy talk of drinking escapades and horny men. So I waited till he got the story out. Then I said, you still thinking about quitting? Yeah. Going job hunting tomorrow. Talked to a guy already in a boatyard. But it was 2.5 an hour I like that job. I like working outdoors. But I told him I couldn't make it on 2.5. Not without 50 to 55 hours a week. So he said he would let me know if he didn't get any more suitable applications. And that if I would be willing to get in there and learn the business, he'd probably start me at 3. I said, you worked on computers? Yeah, 4 years in the service. I said, quitting, it may not be a good idea now. The hassles at the store, and you're part of them. It's not just those people at the store. I think they would show up wherever you go. You find the same sort of people. You have leadership ability, and I think you could handle a store. But you need to do better with people. Don't yell. You have pressures on you. But yelling would only be a very last resort. And the drinking stories. And those comments about other employees. And those uncomplimentary things you say about your mother. They have no place in the store. The relationship at work is a professional one. You have to work. You have work to do. So why not get along? If you dislike a person, keep it to yourself. You have to set an example. He said he knew all those things, but he never was one to set an example. But in the last week, the drinking stories have been fewer. No derogatory references to his mother, and the yelling has diminished. It may keep. Because he eats them with you. Get some of God's peaches with some of this stuff. How about that?
Now, he's the only one that's ever been out here that's had that feel for you.
Well, Leonard called me last night.
Did he?
Yeah. Said he was out here yesterday, right after I left. Said he had some pictures for me.
Had something to let you look at.
No, he said he had some for me. And I told him, I said, I furnished the horses and the effort and the time for them damn pictures, and I said, the least you can do is make me a set. I told him that.
Because there's no meat on that piece of chicken.
Now, wait a minute. This is the best part of the chicken.
Okay.
Back and the wings.
Okay. Who you told him that?
He called Helen. And Helen called me at work last night. And I called him. And I told him that. He said it happened. Have his roommate to blow me up his pictures.
6 months from now, you may see out of here, hear out of him again.
Did you all see him out here yesterday?
I wasn't here.
Well, he said he was here yesterday.
Now, Rick is the only one, Cookie, that's ever had any feeling like that that's been out here. The rest of them don't seem to give a damn what happened to you. You see that, what he done?
Yeah. All he ought to done is come down here and went to work with Johnny Palmer. He got educated down there. He could have got educated.
And he'd have somebody here to talk to.
Yeah.
He could check in with the rest of them. You see, down there, they just see each other on the job, and you don't see much of anybody on the job.
No, you can't talk to anybody on the job, hardly.
I never see it done much. Oh, you know, you talk about a ball game or something.
He took time out to talk to Dean.
But he had to get him in the bar and get him looped up to do it.
How about that?
Well, I just like last night, me and Frank. I had to play cards with him in order to find out what in the world he was doing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He played his cards right in my hand last night, and I caught them all. His buddies is the long-haired, the scroungiest, the sorriest, dirtiest, filthiest-looking things that they are in Gainesville. And they get up, they wobble when they walk.
Oh, really?
That's Frank's buddies. And Frank's in the middle of it. And now you want to keep your seat, because I'm going to tell you something. He's in with a gang that they started last week. They're making photos of nude women all over Gainesville. That's my son for you. That's why I say I had to play my cards. I played cards with him, and that's what I caught. No, he didn't tell me. I just played cards and went where he wanted to go and did what he wanted to do, see, and fell right in with him, and that's where he led it.
Oh, that's what you mean.
Oh, you went around with him to those, with those hangouts?
Yeah, yeah. They got it set up for, well, they done took two pictures already today. I had an appointment at 12:30 for one, 1 o'clock for another, today. One at Little Larry's and one at the Waffle House on Southwest 13th Street. I got them all staked out. That is, if the detective didn't get him. That's why I say Frank will be involved, but I can't help it. Let the chips fall. Lay where they fall. The lawyer's name was mentioned, and I'm not going to stand for it. I come home last night, and the longer I studied about it, the madder I got. I picked up a telephone call, Lieutenant Beach. Laid the story on the table to him, and he said, I'll take care of it. He said, keep playing your cards. If you need me, well, here's my home number. any hour. I'm gonna play my cards. I'm gonna break it up. It may put Frank on the spot, but like I say, let the chips lay where they fall. He wasn't brought up that way.
What do you mean, photographs of new women?
Just exactly that. And selling them.
Of some particular person?
Any of them in Gainesville they can get a photograph of.
Oh, but they agree to it.
Oh, yeah.
They walk up and give them a $20 bill.
Oh.
They said this last night. He told Frank. This one, this hippie did. He said, when we sell enough of them, we can get that little jewel that was sitting here in the seat they broke up with her boyfriend the other night. And that was Laura. See, Laura and her hippie broke up.
Mm-hmm.
Cost me a new pickup truck. I ordered it Friday evening.
Cookie.
She gonna trade her Cadillac in on a new pickup truck. I'm gonna sign for her to get it. She gonna make the payments. If she don't make them, I'll have to. That's what she wanted.
Cookie.
Frank, I told him I'd help him. I don't want your help. I just want to go my way. I said, you ain't going nowhere. You're going my way. One way or the other. He said, what do you mean? I said, I mean just what I said. Well, he said, I'm 16. I said, I don't care if you are 16. You're not 21. Well, I'll be 18 in July. I said, well, I still don't cut no ice. You're not 21. Don't you think I'm ever going to grow up? No, not at this rate. You'll not make it, buddy. I told him what I was going to do. He said, you're going to turn us into the police? I said, yeah, I'm going to turn you into the police. In fact, the matter, I said, you're being watched right now. Told him that's morning. He said, I am. I said, yes, sir. Don't make a false move. They told me to tell you, don't make a false move. Because I'll have to come and get you again. He dropped his lip and his head, hair down his eyes. Walked off. I said, now, I think you better get your hair cut, too. He said, I got my hair cut last week. I said, no, they just started it. I said, get your hair cut. If you don't, I will. And I mean it. I'll cut him bald-headed just as close as them clippers of mine cut up. Right straight back through the middle. I'll catch him asleep and do it. You think I won't? I'm going to give him 1 week to get a haircut. If it didn't cut, I'm going to cut it.
Cookie?
I mean it.
I mean, he cuts too much.
I don't want no more. I've eaten more right now than I've eaten in a week.
Yeah, you already drink that.
You can give him a little more of it.
You already drink it whether you like it or not. But you need a plastic. Because it gives you strength. You
got to
gain some of those pounds back.
Yeah, or buy me some more new clothes.
That's true.
But now that's where Frank's been leading in the past. Well, since school started. And that's what's been happening.
Cookie, just drink this, you guys. And then get some of those peaches over there. You like these.
And he just laying for them those all the time?
Yeah. Yeah, he just playing their cards for them. So use him as a sucker.
And he don't know it.
He don't realize it. But now Lieutenant Beach has got, he's got them hippies. See, he's got a full force of hippies on that police force now. They're the low down, dirtiest, scroungiest looking things that you ever saw. But they're still intelligent. They let their beard grow to clash with the hippie class.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they're paying them big money. Yes, my fella. To let their beard grow, hair grow out long, wear dirty, filthy clothes. And you don't know whether you're sitting down by a hippie or a private detective.
That makes Frank a little uncomfortable then.
Well, he don't know that though, see. Frank don't. Well, now there's going to be hippies that's going to be looking for such things as that, but they're going to be FBIs. I mean, private detectives. Yeah, they're out to get them. I'm going to have to play my cards with them, too. Yeah, I'm going to play cards right along with them.
Just keep in touch.
Just keep in touch, yeah. Yeah, that's what Lieutenant Beach told me. He said, play your cards. And if you need me anytime, any hour, he said, you can get me at this number. And give me 10 minutes, then I'll be there. Give me 10 minutes, and I'll be there. There's just too much of that going on in Gainesville right now.
It's almost the center for it.
It is. It's the center for it right there. Gainesville is, it's for all over the state. That is the center for it right there. I didn't know that until I talked to Lieutenant Beach. But now, that wasn't until about a year and a half ago. And there was a Cuban who came from Miami. And he has surrounded the Gainesville area with such hoppycock as that. And it's going to work right around, and it's going to just keep working around till it falls right back to him, because he's the one brought it in here. And just to think, I'm the one that's got the thing on the ball and got it to rolling. I'm the one that's got it on the ball. I'm the only one that's been connected with it, that's got connected with it, that's interested in breaking it up. Everybody else is interested in keeping it a secret and pushing it on.
Oh.
That's right. It's hard to tell who all it will involve. It's no telling the hundreds of people in Gainesville that it will involve, and business people. Business people. Monsterio.
Well, I wouldn't put anything.
Gator sounds. Hoyt Fidelity. The Fidelity Shop. I mean, they're all. I'm not joking. I'm serious. Right?
A munch, your old friend.
Yeah, but I'm gonna trap him. You watch me. So he's a Cuban, and he come here about a year and a half ago.
Oh, he's a Cuban?
Yeah.
I thought he was one of them other fellas from Miami.
He's a Cuban. And he come here about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. And there ain't no way that no one individual can grow like he's grown and do it honest.
He's on the radio.
They can't do it and do it honest. There's no way.
Well, you knew from your clash with him over there that there wasn't any holds barred with him.
That's right.
You didn't see any of this at that time when you first run into him over there.
No, it hadn't got started good.
Yes.
And I hadn't gotten so deeply involved. I mean, Frank wasn't so deeply involved.
No, he's just on the outside.
Well, Frank just got involved about 3 months ago.
Yeah. Help yourself.
And it got to showing up. It got to showing up. And Lars, that boy, that fellow that she was going to run off and get married to, he's right in the middle of it.
And still here?
And still here. He's right in the middle of it. In fact, the matter, this fellow that was talking last night, they give me all the information. I played his cards, him and Frank was a-talking, and I played my cards right in with their hand and was talking right with them. This fella and Ronnie live together.
Yeah.
They stay together. I told Laura last night, and she almost went through the floor. She said, "I don't believe it, Daddy." I said, "They do." I got to go buy me a tape recorder. One of them little ones that I can put under my jacket. I'm a trapping. I mean it.
Because at the beach ought to have plenty of them.
I haven't talked to him face to face yet. I'm supposed to meet with him at 3:00 this afternoon.
Yeah, he would put you up like that.
I'd like to know what they have in that line. I'd love to sometimes use it myself. I don't know any of that.
I'll find out. I mean, it went that far. And I caught them, I just played right in with them last night, and just all opened up like that.
Easy.
Easy, just by me being a low-down scoundrel,
mm-hmm.
and just playing cards, right? I'm just playing right in with their hand. Mm-hmm.
You played cards?
Oh, God.
I mean, I didn't.
I know. You have played cards?
Yes, sir. I've done a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Think when them boys were sitting there talking about what they was going to do, where they was planning it out, where they was going to meet. Frank, he was a little bit skeptic there for a couple minutes. when he first started talking. He wouldn't open up. And I turned around to the waitress and I said, "Hey, honey, come over here and give me another cup of coffee to drink on this. I gotta get tangled up here." She brought me another cup of coffee and I said, "You all want a cup of coffee?" Frank said, "Yeah, I want some more." This old boy said, "I want a Coke." I said, "All right, bring him a Coke." And then this other fellow came over and sat down. I said, "What are you going to drink, coffee, Coke, or milk, or what are you going to drink?" "Oh, I don't want no milk." He said, "No, that'll kill me." He said, "I'll drink a cup of coffee." I said, "All right." I told her, I said, "Hey, bring another cup of coffee." And we sat there and drank coffee. This boy said, "Now," he said, "I drew this number over at Little Larry's." Frank said, "That good looking chick over there?" "Oh," I said, "I'll bet that was Linda, wasn't it?" He looked at me. "No, it wasn't Linda. What does she look like?" "Oh," I said, "she's a beautiful gal. And Linda did work over there. I did used to work over there." And Rod said, "Oh, is she the one that worked on Trader Tom's?" I said, "I don't know where she's working now." "Oh," he said, "we'll draw that one too, Frank." He said, "we'll draw that one too." I said, "Well, I see her every now and then." I said, "You want me to tell her to look you up?" And Rod said, "No," I said, "we better look them up." He said, "This is too serious." And then they just shut up like a clam. That's all was said last night. And but I knew they had that plan, one for 12:30 and one for 1 o'clock today. That one at Little Larry's. And another one at the Waffle House. And then coming home last night, while I played cards with Frank and I pumped a lot out of him. And then when I got home, I just chewed him out good. Because he done told me too much. And I called Lieutenant Beach and I told him. Frank stood right there and listened at me. Yes, he did. I can't help it. If it does hurt him, I mean, if he gets in trouble, that's all right. Just let the chips
lay. When did you play guards? Army?
Yeah.
Nothing else to do?
No, there wasn't nothing else to do on that boat.
Poker?
Yeah.
That's the simplest one? I mean, the best one?
No, there's a lot simpler ones.
I mean.
Huh?
Oh, is it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot simpler card games than poker. Now, poker is a serious card game. When you play for money.
Yeah.
Or you can lose your shirt before you can turn around. The old saying is, you can lose your shirt before you get it buttoned up.
Yeah. And the others, you can't lose it quite so fast. Mm-mm. Lose it a little at a time.
A little at a time and draw it out over a long period of time.
Yeah. So at least you know what hits you.
Yeah, but I mean playing poker, well, you can lose it and you never know what hits you.
What are some of them games? You can just sew down and high card wins and things like that.
Yeah.
That's what the niggas play.
Yeah, blackjack and draw poker.
Yeah.
Five card stud.
But poker itself is right at the, it's what, it's the, that's for the experts.
That's for people like Clyde Harrison.
Yes. Yeah. No Etheridge,
he's not a card player.
Oh, he's not?
No.
He don't go in for everything that No, Clyde goes in for.
He's not a card shark. No.
He just got me.
But Clyde Harrison will stack that deck for you before you can fix. And he can read the back of them cards too.
Yeah. And he does that every Wednesday night.
Every Wednesday night. And usually cleans house. The only time he loses is when he feels sorry for him. Just lets him lose. Just lets him win.
Yeah.
But now.
And that's his cronies.
Yeah.
And they know it.
You see, he sold Justice Wheat, traded that big Cadillac he had off. Traded it to Justice Williams.
Yeah.
For that 66. He traded the 68 for a 66 and got $2,000 to boot. And the 66 was a better car than the 68. Didn't have as many miles on it.
Justice Williams?
Yeah.
As his friend.
Yeah.
He would really get me if I got in with him, wouldn't he? I mean, I wouldn't know what hit me, would I?
I don't know. He might not be all that bad.
Yes, sir. But he makes you feel like you're doing fine.
Oh, yeah.
You have confidence in the doctor.
Yeah, if you got confidence in the doctor, you'll get well real quick.
Yeah. Oh, shoot. Now, this thing of Rick's, Cookie, that is the first, that's, I've never seen that out here before.
Well, you know, now Rick could have been a great influence on Frank, because Frank liked him. But Frank has got on the wrong road, on the wrong track, and I just don't know what it'll take to straighten him up now.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you see, I've tried to get a little following out here. But look what I get into.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not easy to live with, but they know me, and I'm not going to bite anybody. But I, you see, they work me, Cookie. They got me working for them. What I want them, I just want to have them out here and let them, you know, learn a little bit.
Yeah, just do something for themselves.
I don't want them to get them out here just to work me. And then you've got somebody like Frank, or just anybody, you see, who's teetering.
Yeah.
And you got somebody for them to talk to.
Everybody can learn something, Dan.
I haven't got anybody for them to talk to. I can't hold them together.
Well, boy, I tell you, many more weeks like this past week, and I don't know what's going to happen to me. Now, I ain't joking you. Lord, I've had it.
They think they're doing you a favor if they come out here and bale a little hay. They think that's a great favor, and they don't know a damn thing, and it's more trouble than it's worth to you.
Yeah, and they get done, they don't know a damn bit more after they got done than they did
that's
before
right.
they started.
That's right.
Because they won't pay attention.
They don't pay attention. They haven't got a mind on it. They're thinking about themselves. You know what they're thinking about. They're thinking about themselves.
That's right.
See, I don't give a damn about the hay. I could buy it a whole lot cheaper. With no aggravation, you put up with them. No, that's been sort of hard because I'm a little far along now to handle our kids of that age, and I guess you could somebody could get it going, but I don't know. I don't know. They use you. Oh, that's bred into them now. This is the only case of this I've run into. You see, he talks sense to the boy.
Yeah.
Tells him all that yelling and nipping people. Ain't getting them anywhere. That's the last thing I expected him to say.
Well, what did I tell him when he was sitting right here at the table one day?
What'd you tell him?
I told him the thing for him to do, if he didn't like to listen to that yelling, was to get him off to a corner and tell him that he wasn't going to put up with it.
Yes. Yes. That's right. Yeah, I remember that. Now, you see, as much as you've been around, you know how to get what you want, find out what you want to find out. You know how to do it. And it ain't a great effort to you. But you see, he can't do it.
Well, just like last night. I wanted to find out what they was getting into. When I see how simple it was that I went in there and I found out just exactly what they was getting into.
Yeah. And the whole bunch of them got a brain, you know.
None of them. Ain't none of them got a... Why, they ain't got as much brains as a fish ant, the old saying goes.
You see, I can't put any pressure on, but I can make an opening for him. You see, Rick had that beautiful opportunity. He could have come up here, you see. He don't cost him anything to live now. See, he ain't got any dependents.
Okay.
But he could have got in with this whole country, right down there at Mr. Palmer's store. And when he didn't know what was happening, he'd come over here and ask us, see what we knew.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
He ain't got anybody down there to ask.
Yeah, or go out and talk to Everett or somebody like that. Get out in the countryside.
Now, his daddy's way up in the Winn-Dixie store organization. He don't know what's going on. He don't know any more what's going on down there where they're unloading them trucks than J.J. knew what was going on over there when you was working there.
No. Well, I'm going to have to get out of here and go. I've got two contacts to make before I get to the police department.
Don't get in a hurry now.
I got them contacts to make, and then I got to talk to Lieutenant Beach, and
Laura wants a wagon like yours.
Yeah.
I mean a truck.
Yeah.
With that same camper on it.
Well, I'll tell you guys, she came in the other night. And, tell me about it. She came in and told me, she said, Daddy, she said, I've got something to tell you. She waited up till I got off from work at one, got in home about 1:45.
Middle of the night.
She said, Daddy, I've got something to tell you. I said, all right, what is it? She said, me and Ronnie won't be seeing each other no more. I said, oh? She said, no. She said, I want to go to school. I said, well, I'm glad to hear that. And she said, but there's some other things that I don't understand. There's some other things that I can't get straight. I said, well, tell me what it is, and if I can help you, why, I sure will. Well, she said, first of all, and then she started crying. I mean, it broke her heart to tell me. She said, Daddy, I didn't pass. I'm too dumb to pass the test. She said, I only passed with an 8th grade average. And she said, I've been lying to you and Mama all the time. She said, I pull up in that parking lot at junior college and I can't go in. I can't face them people. She said, I'm ashamed of myself. I said, well, now what do you want me to do? She said, what can you do? I said, I don't know. I don't know what you want to do. I won't know what I can do till I know what you want to do. She said, well, she said, I've always wanted to be an RN. I still want to be an RN. I said, well, what steps have you got to take to pass that test? She said, I've got to learn more. I'm too dumb. I've got to learn more. I said, well, where have you got to go to learn it? She said, well, when I was going to high school, I thought any way to get through was good enough. But she said, I didn't take the subjects that I need, and I don't know it. And I asked her what subjects she needed. She said, I need math and English and reading. She went all through high school and didn't take math. She did.
You took it all the time.
Yeah. She didn't take English. She didn't take no reading subjects. Anything easy. And I said, okay. Where have you got to get this at? She said, to high school. And I said, okay, I'll call Mr. Baker, Mr. Bill Baker. I made arrangements. And she starts her school Monday night. I've got it all set up. I mean, it's set up for her to start school Monday night. And she said, I want me a different automobile. My Cadillac's costing too much money. And I said, well, what kind do you want? She said, I've never drove anything I liked any better than I do your truck.
Oh, really?
I said, well, is that what you want? I don't want to take your truck. I said, is the truck what you want? She said, yes, it is. I went over to the telephone, picked up a telephone, and called Mac Baldwin and Baldwin Chevrolet and Stark. I said, get me a new pickup. Baby blue with a 6-cylinder engine and automatic transmission. He said, when do you want it? I said, no special order. I said, just order me one. And he said, who is this again? I said, this is Mr. Cook down here in Hawthorne. I bought one from you about 3 months ago, a 71 model. Oh, he said, you bought that dirty gold one, didn't you? I said, yes, sir. Well, sir, he said, I'll give you a call when it comes in and you can come and get it. I said, I won't come and get it because I'm ordering it from a daughter. I said, now she's going to do the paying for it. I'm just going to sign the ticket for her. He said, well, we'll work it out. He said, when it comes in, if she wants it, why, she can have it. Without a special order, if she don't want it, don't like it, she don't have to take it. So when it comes in, well, I'll go get it for her. Take her up and let her get it. Payments on a new one's not as much as they are on a used one. Halfway decent. suppose you can finance a new one for a period of 3 years. And anything older than a 69 model, 18 months is all you can get it for.
And that runs the payments up.
And then your insurance is not as high on a new one. Now give her something to look forward to. Now if that's what she wants, I tried to help Frank. I tried to give him what he thought he wanted, but he blew it.
Oh, he really blew it.
He blew it.
He can't drive the Cadillac anymore?
No, he ain't gonna drive that Cadillac no more. No.
He's on foot?
Huh? He's on foot. His mama told him to get him a good pair, get him a comfortable pair of shoes and polish up his thumb, because he wasn't going to drive it till he brought his grades up.
Oh, she did.
She's
got the keys to that Cadillac and they're in her pocketbook. That Cadillac's parked under the shed.
Yeah.
Well, she took a stand.
And I told him last night, I said, you ain't buying nothing that I give you authority to from now on. See, I had to pay out $150 this weekend, and I didn't draw that much money.
On the ID card?
Yeah, and the kitchen sink he went and bought his mama.
Yeah, 80 and 70.
80 and 70. 86 and 70. $156.28, to be exact. And I didn't draw that much money. That's put me on the spot. It's got me over a barrel. I've got to shake something else loose. Got to come loose.
This all began the day Frank got where he could drive a car.
That's right.
That's right. He never did do it easy, did he?
Last year, see? He started, I let him have his first car on the 17th day of last January.
Oh.
17th day of last January.
And he run the motor out of it.
He got his license on the 16th, and I let him drive that Corvair home on the 17th.
He didn't wreck the Corvair.
Yes, he did. He ran it across the culvert and busted the transmission housing on it.
Oh.
It was still running, but it was wasn't worth a nickel.
I hate to think how many cars he's had.
I don't be late for your place.
Yeah, I got to run.
Hey!
But that's what I'm into, and I don't know what the outcome's going to be. Poor little old Laura last night said, Daddy, I want you to wait for me every night.
She has seen what goes on.
She has saw the light, I hope.
Well, now this last thing, though, was a pretty big blow, Cookie.
Yeah. I think she's finally come to realize that the time has come that you can't trust nobody.
Yes. Yes.
See, she'd only known Ronnie about 2 months, and they was ready to go get married.
And she didn't know a thing about him.
Why, no. She didn't know a bit more about him than you first do. I mean, he led her on in the dark side of life.
Yeah.
And he was the very opposite. And he led Frank the same way. But yet, last night it uncovered. And Frank, that hurt Frank, too. To think if Laura had fell for something like that and he was caught up.
Oh, that that was one of Frank's buddies.
Oh, yeah, they're
that,
all...
Laura, That it looks like that ought to put a little sense in his head.
It hasn't fazed him, I don't think, so far. He just hurt, but he's too darn stubborn to admit it.
He's stubborn.
Oh, Lord, yes.
Now, is he the only one that's stubborn in your family?
No, Becky's stubborn.
Yeah?
But there ain't no way that she can cause me as much trouble as he has. There's no way.
But the cooks are not stubborn.
No.
Your dad is hard-headed, but he's not stubborn.
No, he's hard-headed. I mean, but
he'll listen directly.
Yeah, it takes a little while to get through his thick head, but now when he'll back up and start again once you get him to see them.
Yeah.
Frank ain't never backed up and started again.
Well, where'd he get that?
Who, Frank?
Yeah.
From Helen's side of the people.
Oh, it's over there?
Her baby brother, they ain't nothing more stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you told me about that. Well, don't be late while you're going.
Golly, Cookie. Well, it'd be so exciting to go around with you.
I'm going to see some action.
I believe you are.
I'm going to see some action. I'm going to see more action in the next week, and I'll see you the rest of my life.
How about that?
I may not work very much, but I'm going to sure see some action.
And that's right at the heart of the matter, that sort of action you are looking at.
That's right. That's right. Well, and that's right in the heart of my family.
Yeah. And other people's families.
Right. I just can't see it go on no further. I just can't.
Yes, sir. Well, I'm glad you got Lieutenant Beach.
It's like Frank's over at the station working today.
Yeah.
I've been told him to absolutely not let him leave there until I drove up, see? But he don't know that. I'm going to come back and get him tonight sometime, about 6:30, 7, maybe 8 o'clock. But Frank's going to have to work right up until I come back, see?
They're keeping him busy.
They're going to keep him busy. Until I come to get him. Because if I don't come and get him, he'll call his hippie to come and get him, see?
And he got a little money to spend.
Who, Frank?
Yeah. So a hippie will come get him.
Yeah, he's got over $100 bill in his pocket right now.
You couldn't borrow it from him, did you?
You couldn't get a nickel off of him. I couldn't get a nickel off of him. He got over $100 in his pocket right now.
But they can. His friends.
Yeah, he'll just hand it out, don't you?
Golly, cause he...
Well, they won't find many like that, so they got to make the best of it.
That's right. But I got to beat them to the draw for a few days. And I'll check in with you all later.
Okay. Right on.
That's better than a movie. A cookie.
Now you're going to sit down and rest and get your pulse. And you start telling me what to say in here. I don't know what you're talking about. You start prompting me.
I was just so overcome myself. I was falling in love.